Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Well, greetings. How are you guys doing today? Bring your greetings. Happy Father's Day for all of you guys up in Upper Vineyard, for you guys here watching online. I'm just grateful to be a dad, that we have a day where there's an acknowledgement of how difficult it is, but how much joy it is as well. So I celebrate. How about a round of applause for every dad that's in the room right now? Go ahead and celebrate them. Celebrate these fathers. You know, I think about the Heavenly Father. I think, you know, sometimes we just need to tell Him we appreciate Him. I love how the song goes. I appreciate all that you've done for me. I hate that I started that high. Let's start. Hit the right key, because I jumped up too high. I appreciate all that you've done for me. I am so grateful, and I'm thankful as I can be. As long as I live, praise to God, I'll always give. 'Cause I appreciate everything you've done for me. If you're thankful for God, your Father, give Him praise. Hallelujah. Lord, as we get into your word, we ask that you be here with us on this day that is joyful to some and painful for others. We pray, God, that not a person among us would be left out of your goodness and your grace and your mercy. We're asking you, God, to fix whatever can be fixed, to help us see life the correct way. God, breathe life on your word as we speak it, as we preach it, as we read it. Now, God, we turn the remainder of the service over to you afresh. Say, have your way. Move like you need to move, and we'll give you praise. Now, think through my mind and speak through my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and redeemer. And every glad heart say, amen. You're going to go to Ephesians 4 and 6. You're going to go to Psalm 68, 5 and 6. And we're going to spend most of our time in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 14 through 21. And I'm going to try to help you and I relate to our fathers, imitate our fathers, and give them permission to evaluate and celebrate us. That was a good amen, but that's all right. Sorry. It's that kind of day. It's all right. You know, Father's Day, you just get courtesy amens. It's okay. It's courtesy. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4, verse 6. There is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Psalm 68, 5 and 6. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoner with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. I am so grateful to have the honor to have a subtitle of Father taken from our Heavenly Father. He does a good job, and he's a hard act to follow. No one loves the way he loves, and it is just and slow to anger and kind and protecting and as excellent a pastor is he. He is everything we all desire and everything we all want, and he does it perfectly. But as perfect as God the Father is, his kids look like they went crazy. So it's not something bad in God. It actually allows you to see something good in God the Father, that even when we fail to be our best, a Father stays on the pursuit. He stays in love. How difficult it is living in today's society when fathers are not viewed with great favor. In fact, when I was growing up, you know, we had some good sitcoms that showed you some good, strong men and fathers. You know, Ward Cleaver, God bless him. And if you don't know who Ward Cleaver is, it's okay. Just look him up. Leave it to Beaver. Ward, he was great. There was just some people who you looked on the television and you said, okay, I would be all right if that was my guy. Nowadays, I mean, I'm looking like, whoa, tell me this is not real. Because you used to be able to look and hope for something, and now you look and hope you don't get what they have. However, the media so has dominated throughout society that if it's somehow on TV, somehow it's believable of all. Men have this, in the category of father, have this dwarfed, dumbed-down role where we know it's a necessity, but we don't believe it's a possibility to be fulfilled at the right level, at the high level. Now, even if you are a man of God like myself or a politician, there even seems to be maybe even a higher standard than that of someone that might not have those roles. And the smallest of infractions, while on a one level it may be multiple infractions here, if the smallest of infractions can disenfranchise you from the quality statement of a good father. You have a variety of fathers. You have our natural fathers who birthed us. Well, they didn't birth us, but they, you know, let's just leave that alone. You have stepfathers. You have adoptive fathers. You have a category which I think important today, and I will park on a bit. You have spiritual fathers. But we're all having to live up to the standard that God the Father Almighty, who's in all and through all, have set. And he's good at it. And then we've got to live with the pressure from below of low expectations. Seems like we're sandwiched in. While the rest of society, according to statistics, believe that their primary problem in the world today, the primary problem, let's say in the United States today, is fatherlessness. 72% of us believe this is the primary problem. Not that a father is dead, but the father is neglecting to try to achieve that level that God the Father has been maintaining, and not getting tired of the pressure that comes from below and tells you, you better be the absolute best with no mistakes. It's tough. But then it's a joy. But I want to tell the fathers, and I want to tell those of us who are looking toward our fathers, that God thinks we can do it. Yes. And I know that there can be great disappointments coming from our earthly fathers, but yet this position is given from him. And if he calls you to do something, he equips you to be able to do it. He thinks we can do it. So therefore, we can. So anytime you see certain characteristics show up in a father, he is aligning himself with God. Now, if I go back to the garden before there was this familial role of father, and God had just blessed them and told them to prosper, to fill the earth, to do it, and to multiply, we see a couple things happen. We see Adam be introduced to a woman. He was put in deep sleep. He saw a woman. And the reason I just want to park here for a minute. There was a distinction made from the beginning between Adam the man and Eve the womb man. So no matter what the world becomes, until you, if you as a man get a womb, you are a new species that we didn't know existed. But I don't believe that's possible. There is a distinction, and it's all right. There's men, there's women. I'm sorry you have to make it plain nowadays, but I want to make it very plain. He called her woman. Then he upgraded her to wife before he did anything. Yeah, you got to jump in like, yeah, they didn't do nothing. Like, that's like, yeah, they didn't do nothing. Then he said, go. He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, the two shall number two but one. He wanted them to be fruitful and multiply. They should have gone away and had some kids, but they went away and talked to a snake, standing there talking to the snake. The man watches his wife enter into sin. She invites him into sin, and they just both go down. That's why in our men's ministry, one of the first things we start with men is rejecting passivity, because Adam was passive about the word and the instruction of God, and he didn't interject when he should have interjected, but put his wife up out there like, yeah, let her test it, and if she don't die, then I might not die. Yeah, you know, you have to reject that little passive spirit that causes you to take a step back, because when men feel like something's not going quite right, there's a tendency in men to just do this. Well, I don't want to argue. I ain't going to be in no fight. You going to listen to me, or I'm just going to back out. Ooh, better know the spirit. Come on now. Work with me. Workwithme.com. But watch this, because I'm about to show you, no matter what type of father you are, natural, step, adoptive, being a spiritual father is critical. Adam failed to lead his house spiritually. He finally goes away. He sins. God judges them. He gives the woman, multiplies sorrow and childbearing. I'm sorry, ladies. I just want to say I'm sorry. And he judges the snake, judges the man, and then he goes silent. And the first person to speak after this is Genesis 3:20, is Adam, who says, and her name shall be called Eve, for she shall be the mother of all living. He establishes his house, his fatherly right to multiply and to have children, and he becomes a covering and focus. You cannot neglect that role that's given to you by God. But some men have neglected it. In my own life, my father neglected his natural role, but I'm going to show you how God solved it with spiritual fathers. My dad, I want to be personal with you today. My dad was a guy who was brilliant, very deeply spiritual, and used his God-given talents to go away from Jesus and become a universalist, where, you know, you can kind of believe everything, do everything, you know, is, you know, no real immorality. Got involved, so involved in this cult activity that our life was in danger. When I was 5 years old, we had to run away from him. We were homeless, moving from place to place, living in cars, just doing what we had to do, living under assumed names because he had threatened to, you know, find us and be harmful. And, you know, in my life, there's a past in that family line of witchcraft, and they had spoken a lot of word curses over us. And so that was my example. And that painful example of someone who bears the same subtitle with God of Father can cause you to have a skewed relationship with all other men. And you look at them like they're suspects. That might be you today. Your broken relationship statistically with your father tells us that you're more likely to be engaged in deviant behavior, secretly or publicly. And then God blessed me to have a stepfather, but no matter what he did, all I could do in the beginning is add up what he didn't do to qualify as the father. He didn't say he was proud of me. Well, if you're going to take this role, look me in my eye and tell me I love you. I love you. Give me a hug.
Come on, buddy.
Kiss. Show up to my games. No, just didn't happen. It's what you think a father's gonna do. So I kind of stiff-armed his contribution to my life until God one day said, let me back up. Let me help you reevaluate this man and qualify him as a father in your life who told you when he married your mother, I don't believe in divorce. I will never divorce. And he didn't until the day he died. A man who worked 40 years and taught me to work and be on time. 40 years, the same job. Man who made me work on cars, and I don't like to work on cars, before he let me have one. He made me cut the lawn, then cut the elderly people's lawn for free. Then go make money after I cut their lawns. He did not go to church with me, but he always drove me to church. And when it comes to being generous, if anyone ever asked us for something we had, he willfully, without hesitation, whether it was car, furniture, or house, gave it. It says to me toward the latter end of his life, said, I don't go to church, but the only church I'll go to is the one you pastor. That's as close as, you know, you get to, I'm proud of you. You know, you have to learn how to read between the lines. Like, I'll go to your church. Okay, that's, I'm proud and I love you. You know, just read the language. And then my mother and I had the opportunity to confirm that Jesus was Lord of his life before he departed from the earth. You see, a lot of times, God, who puts the lonely in family, God from his holy place, who's a father to us all, will not allow you to go without what you need from a father. If nobody shows up in the natural or spiritual category or the step category, then God himself will do it. I'm a father to the fatherless. But it is so important that you receive this that he will not let you go without it. I'm so grateful for that. As we look at 1 Corinthians 4, I'm going to try to hit three things to help the fathers and to help the sons and daughters. One is, in order to establish what you need, you need to relate to one another. There needs to be some type of covenantal agreement about what the exchange is going to be. Number two, you need to be a person that can be imitated. And then we as sons and daughters need to be someone who is submissive to good leadership. Finally, when you relate like this and when you can imitate somebody and accept that imprinting, you agree that they have the right to evaluate you and pronounce your good or pronounce your judgment. This role is not a little cute title. This role of father carries with it high responsibility and high authority. Let's look at the scripture together in 1 Corinthians 4, starting the 14th verse, just to contextualize this just a little bit as we get into it. Paul is writing back to the Corinthian church who is having some problems inside. The problems that the Corinthians are having, there's a lot of immorality going on. There's a lot of factions and dissension. There are some doctrinal issues. It seems as if the culture is invading the church, but the church is exceeding the sins of the culture. And Paul is going to deal with it. Now, I'm going to use Paul to talk about the relationship we need or we have with our fathers, knowing that he himself, as far as we know, was not a natural father. So I want to show you that this is beyond, this is a spiritual thing as much as it's a natural opportunity. This is a spiritual thing. I'm going to use Paul. Okay, 14th verse. Let's read. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Paul had just got done talking to them in the verses before about some of their behavior. He was kind of speaking to them tongue in cheek, but he was correcting them about what was going on. And now he's proclaiming his ability to do so by proclaiming his love. That you're not somebody just ordinary with me. You're somebody that is beloved. If you're going to be a good father, you're going to have to communicate to your children, naturally or spiritually, that there is a relationship that is based on the glue of love and intimacy and care. Everybody needs to know that somebody out there, especially their father, loves them. When a young lady especially doesn't know whether or not her father loves her, it creates a great deal of problems in their life. When a man doesn't know that his father loves him, it produces insecurity in his life. Paul is making a statement that everything that I'm going to tell you, even the correction, is based on the fact that I love you. You are beloved to me. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for I have become your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. You know, here it is. No matter what you can impart to your child naturally, an inheritance or your presence, nothing compares to what you can give them spiritually. And if you are a great, quote-unquote, natural dad who never gets around to laying a spiritual foundation in your children, the main thing about your purpose is missing, because you weren't here to just get them to a career or safely along. You are here and designed to get them into the will of God and the purpose of God and submissive to God and God the Father. What gives you the highest level of authority in a person's life that you either birthed or that you have a spiritual connection with is the gospel that you preach to them. It's the fact that you related that to them. We know the Bible says that in John 3:3, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. You have a natural birth and you have a spiritual birth. And somebody has to preach you the gospel and see you translated from the kingdom of darkness into the marvelous light. Somebody has to show up and make that role. So you may not have identified that person yet, but you need to. For me, I remember that first person who made it piercingly clear for me was Ronald Winans. This was Debbie's brother. I mean, he had come to me. He admonished me, told me what I had going wrong. He re-preached the gospel to me because I was one of those churchgoer Christians who said all of the right things, had been around a lot of the right experiences, but I didn't have the lifestyle fully to back it up. And somebody, a father with some authority, has to come into your life and re-preach that gospel to you until you get the message, means that you need to be submissive to it. This is love. All of my children, from the moment that they were lap babies, I was preaching the gospel to them. I was ministering them before they can comprehend what it was. I've led them to the Lord. I've gotten them filled with the Spirit. This is a daily routine in our life to do the reading of the scriptures in the Bible. You're going to have to relate and communicate. You've got to get over this thing, men, where, you know, we only talk about the game. You're only talking when it's about, you know, the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right, son.
You got to get deeper than that. Y'all, baritone amen. Okay? You got to go a little bit deeper. and help them understand a greater conversation. We know statistically that a man, because of how he works in the home still as the primary maybe breadwinner, that he's spending the smallest amount of time with the kids. So you've got to make every moment you spend with your kids count. And they've got to know that they are loved. And nothing says love more than time. Time. I can buy my kids every toy. They want me to play with them in the toy. I can get them a movie. They want me to watch the movie with them. I can buy them a meal. They want me to sit and eat the meal with them. There is no freedom from these people. They're not in here. And you want to relate. Let me tell you the pain of you wanting time with someone that doesn't give it to you. That dad I told you about, my natural father, now my stepfather, I had about 3 or 4 encounters in my life with him. One I remember very deeply because I had a science project due at school, and it was like one of the first times I talked to him, and I said, well, can you help me with my science project? And he gave me the idea of doing it on chameleons and their effect on the environment. And he was going to meet me at a store called Bawanadons. And I had my mom take me to Bawanadons. And he never showed up. And just like the kids in the movie, you know, when you don't want to drive away because he's going to show up, I was like, no, he going to come. He didn't come. The store closed. I bought salamanders instead of chameleons. I got an F on my project. And to this day, I have an infatuation with lizards because it's a memory I'm trying to hold on to. You see, time is so important. Every moment you spend with a child, look how vivid that memory is for me. It's like yesterday. And all I can do is I just play it in my head a different way. Like we really did everything. You know how important it is for you to know that you're loved by your father? Loved even when they mess up. See, these people Paul is talking to are messing up. And he said, I got to correct you. I got to say some strong stuff to you. But I don't want you to forget I love you. I might have to tear you up, but I love you. I might have to make you feel bad, but I love you. I believe the best for you. You're going to have to relate as a father. You're going to have to relate as a son or daughter. Verse 16. I urge you, then be imitators of me. You're going to have to imitate your father. You know, it's a funny thing to hear you imitate another man or another person that's fallible, another person that makes mistakes, another person that gets things wrong. I have told my kids for the whole of their life that shut up is a bad word in my house. Don't you ever say it. But they have repeatedly made me say that word to them. Shut up. And then I can't figure out why they keep making mistakes and saying it. Because I keep making mistakes and saying, y'all gonna shut up in this house right now. You see, people are not gonna do what you say, they're gonna do what you do. And I want them to talk to each other with some great kindness and keep an inside voice. That's appropriate. Now hear this inappropriate yelling from the other room. And just before I say something, God says, does that sound familiar? You know, matter of fact, Lord, I think last year I talked. No, that was yesterday, son. Because they're imitating, they're mimicking me. They're doing everything I do. But Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, it's all right to be imitated if you've got someone you're trying to imitate and he's good and great. We have a Heavenly Father that we can look to. When we don't know what to do as fathers, look to the Heavenly Father who's loving and kind and just and fair and faithful and good and always there, protector, provider, and authoritarian, but he's always balanced and still he finds an opportunity to be humble. When you look to God and you mimic him, you can be mimicked. So guess what? If you don't pray, your kids are not going to pray. Just because you said go do a devotional, they're not going to do it if they don't see any value in it for you. They're not going to speak the scriptures if you don't speak the scriptures. They're not going to go into ministry if you don't love ministry. If they don't see you filling out your tithe and offering envelope and learning what generosity is, they're not going to be generous. They're going to be selfish all the days they like because they did not learn this principle. And it's more than teaching them to play baseball or throw football and just being happy that they're a jock and just, oh, yeah, look at him. He's a stud. You know, no. You got to look at them and make them a follower, a Christ follower, just like Christ. You know, statistics have proven that people, teens don't learn to drink from peers. They learn to drink from parents. That can be responsible or irresponsible, no matter how you feel about the subject, spiritually. What's going on is in your hands, Dad. You're the authority. So if you don't, ever look nice, they're not going to know how to look when they go and present themselves to someone. Dads don't live for themselves. They live to be an example that will help the person propel themselves in life. Contrary to popular opinion, I might like to preach in a nice t-shirt and some shorts. But it might not show the next generation how to achieve the same things I have been blessed to achieve if I give them my area of grace instead of my area of labor. People are going to mimic us, dads. Let it be opening the door for mom. Let it be honoring God in everything we do. We watch, we see, we act. They're going to mimic me. If I'm looking at the wrong thing, they're going to catch me one day looking at the wrong thing. And when I try to correct them about the wrong things they're looking at, they're going to say back to me, "Well, Dad, I caught it on your computer." But I'm so glad if you're in our Be Men ministry here at church, I can tell you there's better things about our men who have gone through the scrutiny of weeks of other men examining their life, examining their moral life, and making a stand for God that becomes a standard for their children to mimic. I'm not saying that any dad has to be perfect, but he has to be pursuing the God who is perfect. And then they will mimic it. They'll act like it. And the fruit is in 17. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. You've got to be able to name your kids and send your kids to be a representation of your good qualities. And you as children have to receive not the bad that your parents do. I've got some bad. It's just like sometimes I feel sorry for my kids that I'm their daddy. Because I can flip the switch on them so quick. Sit down. Huh, you want some popcorn? You know, it's just crazy. You know, you say something tough to them and then you feel guilty and then you turn around and you want some candy. It's just too much. You know, so you've got to be able to send him. He said, "I'm going to send my beloved son." And he's faithful. Faithful to what? The words I've given him, the instruction I've given him, the time I've invested in him. I know what's in him because I put it there. And just like you're my family, I'm going to send you more family to oversee you. See, a man of God, a father, knows how to oversee that which he's stewarding. He doesn't never think they're too far out of reach. He doesn't say of his children, well, you know, they down there in Corinthian doing all kind of crazy things, got the government calling them and all. I'm just through with them. I'm through with my children. I'm through with my assignment. I'm through being a father. I reject this responsibility. No, I'm asking you to rise up to the full measure of the responsibility. Wherever you have let yourself down or your family down, God has not changed your position, because the gift and the calling is given without repentance. So just be a father and start looking to the Heavenly Father so you can know what it should look like. Mimic him. Call your sons back with authority. Paul is at a distance from them, but it doesn't take away his authority. Doesn't matter how the family got broken up. Doesn't matter what caused you guys to be separated. It doesn't matter. You still got the responsibility and authority. Don't be so disappointed that things went wrong that you just abdicate your authority and give it to somebody else that's not qualified. You're the best person qualified from God to deliver. You're anointed to do it. Don't give it up. I say, Holy Ghost, some of you are going to have to make the phone call to your sons. You be brave. Stop waiting on them to call you. Make the call. Yes, they didn't take everything you asked them to take. They didn't do everything you asked them to do. God's asking you to be on assignment to them. Yeah, you need to receive that. And sons, you need to forgive your fathers. No matter how painful. My natural father just passed 2-3 weeks ago. After a lifetime of estrangement and pain and interactions that were not positive or favorable, I'm called to a room and I find out I have another sibling, and the sibling says to me, you know what? I didn't know you existed. He told me he had a son and that he was down at such and such church, and we called the church, and I thought he was playing games, but you're real. Then come to find out that the man that I wanted to do his God-given assignment was only living a mile from my house in Detroit. But no matter how painful that reality is, when it shows up, I had the responsibility to go and say, I don't hold anything against you. Probably did the best you could. I'm glad God gave you that high place in my life. And for the rest of my life, you'll be honored in that place. Even the pain had a purpose. Final point, evaluate. Verse 18. Some are arrogant as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord's will, and I will find out, or I will evaluate, not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. Who has the real authority? I do. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and in the spirit of gentleness? You see, when a father is really in his place, doesn't even matter if he's a great distance. Doesn't matter if the kids boast, I got my own rights. There's something that they cannot take away from you, that you are to be honored. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the earth. There is something that you're anointed to give to your children, even though you might feel that they're smarter than you. Or they've developed some skills or get some resources greater than you. They still need your voice. They need your voice. So, sons and daughters, you determine whether you're going to let this person that you have a relation with and that you've been mimicking parts of their life, if you're going to let them evaluate you. Because if you think you've got the power to lock them out, you're going to come with a rod. But if you embrace them and their word and their instruction of correction, even if you didn't see all the things you wanted to see in their life, then it's going to be loving. I simply have to say, in this message that no matter where the relationship broke down, and 72% of all the U.S. believes that the greatest breakdown that we're having is one of fatherlessness, that it can be repaired today. Yes. It can be repaired by just relating. Get in somebody's face and say, I love you. Maybe look to the off to the left. I love you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, just work your way to the middle like a quick gun. I love you. Break the code and before they know it, before you leave, grab the top of their shoulders and say, proud of you. And maybe they didn't do anything that somebody else would qualify as proud. I don't care how you have to speak it. Speak it in faith. But you look at that young man, that young one, say, I'm proud of you. Yes. And let your eyes and your nonverbal communication say, woo. Let your chest swell up. Even if you find them in the most desperate of situations and circumstances that are just completely opposite of how you think or believe, show the love. Children, forgive. Let it go. Take advantage of the time you have now. Stand to your feet. Fathers, we're going to end this service. The ministry team, you can come down. We're going to end this service doing something just unique. If you got the little proclamation that one of our B-men leadership team wrote, I just want the men to just say this out loud. Just read this out loud and we'll just be dismissed. And in just a moment, I'm going to say ready and we'll read together. Ready? Read. I am a father. Can we give God a hand clap of praise? I'm going to pray and dismiss, but bow your head, close your eyes, nobody looking around. I'll just say two things. It'll be very brief. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, the way you get a spiritual father is by making him Lord. And today, at the conclusion of service, if you want to make Jesus Lord of your life and you want to publicly make it known, come down to the front. We're going to be here to pray for you. Secondly, go home, and if you feel the conviction to call your father, don't reject it. Just do it. If you as a father feel the conviction to call your children, do it. Let us all leave this place better, stronger, wiser, more committed than ever before to love God our Father with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Bless these people as we leave this place, but not your presence, Lord. Keep us in the center of your will and as the apple of your eye, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. If you have any needs whatsoever, we're here to pray for you. In the upper venue there, to pray for you. God bless you. You are dismissed.